RBN. So I wanted to play this little bit here, and then we'll take the next couple callers. Mr. Producer Clip 9, Miss Linda Sarsour, the hijab march, women's march, pussy hat, whole deal. Go ahead and play.
Sisters and brothers, it's been 16, almost 17 years since the horrific attacks of 9/11. And we still, as a community, find ourselves unprepared in so many moments. Why, sisters and brothers, why are we so unprepared? Why are we so afraid of this administration and the potential chaos that they will ensue on our community? And we already saw their potential when they come out every few weeks, Muslim ban one, Muslim ban two, Muslim ban three. They are relentless, they are persistent and consistent, and want to see how much we as a community can endure, and want to see who our friends are and how hard we're going to fight back against this administration. And I hope that we, when we stand up to those who oppress our communities, that Allah accepts from us that as a form of jihad, that we are struggling against tyrants and rulers, not only abroad in the Middle East or in the other side of the world, but here in these United States of America, where you have fascists and white supremacists and Islamophobes reigning in the White House. We have to stay outraged. Do not criticize me when I say that we as a Muslim community in these United States of America have to be perpetually outraged every single day. When I wake up in the morning and I remember who's sitting in the White House, I am outraged. This is not normal, sisters and brothers. Those people sitting in the most powerful seats in this country is not normal. So do not ever be those citizens that normalize this administration, because when the day comes that something horrific happens to us or to another community, you will be responsible for normalizing this administration. Our number one and top priority is to protect and defend our communities. It is not to assimilate and to please any other people in authority. Our obligation is to our young people, is to our women, and make sure our women are protected in our community. And our top priority, even higher than all those priorities, is to please Allah and only Allah.
All right, you can stop it there. This is Linda Sarsour, this agent provocateur. She wears a hijab. The women's march, far left. This is the – so many people speak on this. This is the cultural Marxist Alinskyite wedding with basically the cultural overwrite of – Western civilization, the new management system for Western civilization, which is the Salafist Islamic form, you know, it goes real well with communism. Okay. And so this is what we're seeing, you know, women with slut spray painted on their stomachs and wearing tutus around should not be, aligned with a hijab wearing front for basically cultural and demographic jihad. And so there's these weird forces under the surface here. And the most simple way I can say this is, when you look at all these groups who should not even have anything to do with each other, all aligned basically against traditional America, you can only say it's this. Just like Jesus said in the Bible, the devil's kingdom is not divided against itself. You're seeing Hindu persecution of Christians all over India. You're seeing Chinese communist persecution of Christians in China. You're seeing all over the Middle East Islamic persecution of Copt Christians in Egypt and Christians in Syria, beheadings, the whole nine yards. You see elements in Europe, very anti-Christian elements in Europe, the Marxist socialist left. And you see it here. And then you see the witchcraft gangs, the satanic people. They're all aligned, and they also have this umbrella over them, basically, because they're all part of the same kingdom. All right? And it's about the most simple way I can explain it, the way I see it on the spiritual level is. And if you don't agree, don't agree. I don't care. Let's take Bruce in Texas. How you doing, Bruce? We got Bruce? Mr. Producer?
Hello?
Hello? Yes, sir. Go ahead.
All right. Yeah, Semper Fi, bro.
You too, man.
Hey, on Ms. How do you pronounce your name? Saloon?
Sarsour. Sarsour, yeah.
Sarsour, okay. You mentioned Daily Stormer earlier. I read something pretty interesting on Daily Stormer about her. Allegedly, she may have some Jewish ancestry in her. What do you think about that?
Well, I mean, if you get into the whole if you get into the whole Ashkenazi kind of Khazarian, let's just say hypothesis, some of the Palestinians definitely have more, let's just say, Semitic blood flowing through their veins than some of the Ashkenazi Khazars, if you buy into that hypothesis. So that would not be surprising.
Yeah, I don't think it'd be surprising either, especially when we think about Adam Kadan. Remember him, the American Taliban? You know, his father was in the ADL.
His grandfather was one of the head ADL guys. Yeah, Adam Kadan, sure. The American Jewish Al-Qaeda kid.
When they come off super, super radical and they have questionable backgrounds, I think you need to start looking at that. You know, we need to start looking at that angle, you know, so we don't get fooled.
Yeah, well, I mean, this isn't the first time this has happened in history anyway. Whereas the Jewish community, there's whatever kind of spirit resides in them, they hate the larger Christian community. And it goes back to that seething hatred in the Talmud of the person of Jesus. Whether you believe in Jesus or not, that's really irrelevant because the Jews hate him. I'm talking about the Talmudic followers and not just some secular Jewish person that grew up without religion. But the closer you get to the Talmud, the more that you're going to hate the person of Christ. And so that's not surprising. Go ahead.
Yeah. I'm going to shift gears then. When you were mentioning the Catholic Church, I just want to give a shout-out to Bishop Williamson. Are you familiar with him?
Yeah. I'm on his mailing list.
All right, good. Is he still active? Is he vocal at all? Because I haven't heard from him.
Yeah, the St. Marcel Initiative, St. Marcel, M-E-R-C-E-L, Initiative, and you'll be able to sign up and get his emails. He's an interesting guy, and he's really an old school traditionalist. He was too hardcore for the Society of St. Pius X, so they kicked him out. Somebody here in St. Louis actually runs his St. Marcel Initiative, and so there's some hardcore trad Catholic people here that actually disseminate his stuff.
Okay, I'll look into that. Yeah, he's a good guy. And I'm just going to go to one more issue. Then you were mentioning Alex Jones and that CIA Stone.
What's
his name again? Yeah,
Robert
Steele.
Steele.
Robert David Steele. Okay, and then he comes out with this bizarre stuff. I'm a regular on Daily Stormer, and I want to run this by you and see what you think about it. What is the deal with this flat Earth stuff? I mean, it's just anything that comes up about space, any issue at all about space, instantly these people come out of the woodwork brandishing about this, oh, it's a flat Earth. I mean, is this an effort to discredit Daily Stormer and the alt-right, or am I just
I think it's more complicated than that. I think NASA and let's just say there's a heavy amount of deception and hoodwinking that's gone on with our existence here on the Earth. And so I think, look, I was watching a video today where it talks about and this is where they could get people screwed up. Maybe they're telling us that the Earth is much smaller than it is mile-wise. And so then people are looking out over the horizons and all the footage from way up in thousands of feet in the air. And so there's a lot of different things you can get into here. But, I mean, I study this flat Earth thing, and I have for a few years now. And I'm just basically agnostic with it. And I like to look at all angles. And I like to watch the footage that people present on both sides and all of that stuff. And so, you know, when people will get passionate about that stuff, that's great. And I'll spend a little bit of time screwing with it, but it's not the most pressing thing for me. And it wouldn't surprise me if the powers that be attempted a lie that size, because they, as you know, they've attempted some hella big lies throughout throughout our history. And so I like looking at it, but I don't sweat it. Like, you know, I'm not worried about it. It's, you know, my existence here is, there's a lot going on in front of my face, and I'll go off and listen to people argue about it once in a while. But yeah, it's not that big of a deal with me.
Okay, well, yeah, you're entitled to approach it how you want, and I respect that.
Yeah.
I just want to point to one thing. I remember I was active in the 9/11 Truth Movement, and I remember when Judy Woods and her gang.
Yeah.
Pete Santilli.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then once it came out, and once it's pretty much an unwritten consensus, I think, that it was nukes that took down the World Trade Center. Well, once all the accusatory evidence came in, that she kind of just disappeared, you know. And Fetzer did a good job of outing her as having connections to the ADL.
Yeah. I got this book by Edward Hendry, which is really good. And it's one of the best 9/11 books that I have. And I came away with it like looking at all of the different theories, whether you're talking about the nanothermite theory, the micro nukes theory, and the kind of cocktailed with the conventional controlled demolition theory, and then the directed energy weapon. Yeah, the directed energy weapon theory. I came to this thought one day. I was like, you know what? These jerks that run this society and that would pull an operation that size, who's to say that they didn't use all of those? Okay, so they've got micro nukes in the sub-basement, what they call the bathtub under the World Trade Center. They've got the squibs. They've got the nanothermite. They've got the explosives, the plastic all over the place. Who's to say that they didn't light up, you know, the nukes and then drop them towers and then already have some sort of a experimental weapon system that they wanted to try and use it as like use that horrific event kind of as a cover just to throw another, you know, let's just say element in the mix and have people arguing for the next 15 years about how it was done. I mean, I just look at things kind of practically like that, and just like, you know, I know it was a false flag. The mechanics of the false flag down to the nth degree, I don't so much care about like the scientists do. There's enough evidence that I know that there was a bunch of basically Israeli intelligence, our deep state involved, and a few other external intelligence agencies that were involved. And so, you know, I know it was a false flag. Now, how exactly they pulled it, it's interesting to watch all that, but it's just like, you know, it's a little bit further down on the pecking order to me personally. Go ahead.
Okay. Well, I'll just close with, when you look at the memorial for the Twin Towers, there's basically two giant pools of water.
Yeah.
And the footprints of the Twin Towers. Now, what do they use in reactors to control
nuclear fission? Yeah.
These water,
they're cooling pools.
isn't that coincidental? You know, coincidental.
Yeah, that's funny.
I'll let you go.
All right, dude. Later. Let's take Doug in Oregon. How we doing, Doug?
Two thoughts for you, real quick.
Yes, sir.
One of them is Yeshua told us that it would be worse than the days of Noah, and we're there, brother. The other thing I wanted to bring up is Jubilee. Maybe you can touch on it. Either if God's sovereign, he says he is, and I believe he is, he requires a Jubilee for his people. Whether they're stupid enough or not wise enough to do it, it doesn't matter. His law prevails. The kosher nosh, whatever you want to call it, they got to give that shit up, or they're going to get it taken from them, and they don't want to give it up. So maybe you can touch on your thoughts of Jubilee. Not many people talk about it, but I want to hear your thoughts. You have a good evening, brother, and keep doing your thing.
All right, see ya. Well, you know, when you get into who God's people are, first of all, is the modern-day Talmudists, are they considered God's people? You know, when you get in, you know, you get to get into Tex Mars and people that get into the New Testament reading about, okay, post the coming of Christ, who are God's people now? And then you get into this dual covenant theology that a lot of the Christian Zionists are in, saying that basically the Mosaic covenant is still in place for the people in the Middle East that call themselves Jews, and then so forth. And then you get into the Christian identity kind of reading that the people that call themselves Jews right now are not, and they're the synagogue of Satan. And then so the Israelites are actually are another covenant people somewhere on the earth. And it's very complicated stuff. And, you know, the whole thing with the Jubilees and leaving the land dormant and then relinquishing debts. If you get into the Talmud, basically they've reasoned and compartmentalized themselves away from having to do that. So you got to realize the Talmud is an overwrite of the Old Testament, and so these people that whom we basically just collectively call Jewish today, that go to synagogue, live in Israel, live in Brooklyn, Crown Heights, or whatever, or over there in Europe and places or whatever. The Talmud, basically, the rabbis have finagled a way to release themselves from the laws of the you know, Deuteronomy and Numbers and all that sort of Leviticus and so forth. And so those, the Old Testament, what we call the Old Testament, the Tanakh, the Pentateuch, these things are actually not as important as the Talmud to a lot of followers, especially the Hasidic and Orthodox Jewish followers. And so therefore, they've written themselves excuses in the Talmud to where they don't have to, you know, relinquish debts and all that sort of thing. And it's a real hodgepodge, 60-something volumes. And, you know, Michael Hoffman, I would just suggest his works on Judaism Discovered and Judaism Strange Gods. And you know, and you, when you were talking about they're going to have to give it up, it made me kind of think about Henry Kissinger's cryptic statement about Israel a few years ago, about Israel and the Middle East not existing in the form that it's in, blah blah blah, speaking very cryptically. And a lot of people say, well, yeah, he's talking about expanding it. It's going to be even a bigger Israeli empire and not just this little sliver of land and so forth. There's a lot of viewpoints on that as well. And I'm coming up on a break, so I'm not going to take the next caller yet. But yeah, it's complicated stuff, and basically Talmud excuses a lot of those rules in the Old Covenant, and depending on who you view the Old Covenant people as. I don't want to step on Wes and the Christian Identity folks, because they believe that that's actually, you know, European stock people that are actually the Israelites, and the people now in the Middle East are not the Israelites and so forth. And so, and then I don't want to step on the Black Hebrew Israelites on the East Coast and those people, because they believe Black people that were part of the, you know, the transatlantic slave trade, they believe they're the real Israelites, and they've got their whole cosmology drawn out of their tribes, and they're the lost people of Israel. And now Farrakhan and the Nation of Islam has really even taken kind of Black Hebrew Israelite theology and kind of incorporated that into the Nation of Islam. So if you heard Farrakhan talking lately, he talks about, you know, being Black people in America, being the real Jews and so forth and so on. So it's a real cultic hodgepodge out here of people that, you know, that want to be Israelites and that sort of thing. And it's interesting. And, you know, I read a lot of the old Herbert W. Armstrong stuff, the British Israel World Foundation stuff, and I've gotten into a lot of that stuff, and it's fascinating. See you guys on the other side of the break.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing. Knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds, up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG.
Radio. We have Bill in Wisconsin on the line, and I haven't talked to Bill in a while. Greetings, sir.
Yeah, good show tonight, as usual. I'm in total agreement with you on, you know, this situation in Syria. I'm very concerned that they're going to throw Assad under the bus. And that he's going to be removed, and I agree with you. You know, who knows what's going to come after that? The other
Did you see this? I got this this tweet that was great. Putin, when Rex Tillerson was running his mouth, Putin said this: Tillerson is not Syrian. The future of Syria and the political future of President Assad can only be determined by the Syrian people, because these McMasters and these Tillerson and these guys want to run their mouths like they have the right to just oust a president of another country. And then they wonder why we're despised in many places around the world when our leaders could just talk willy-nilly about regime-changing people like President Assad. And then they want to whine about the Russians meddling in our election. I mean, it's just like you're talking about ousting a guy from his own country, and then you people are whining about, oh, my gosh, did the Russians interfere in our election? I mean, it's just the utter most mentally ill hypocrisy you could imagine.
Absolutely. Did you see that reports that are out on the Internet? My wife told me, but G. Edward Griffin talked about that party that was in the Hamptons and George Soros. Yeah, and
Ivanka and Jared.
Ivanka was there. Yeah.
Yeah.
I brought it up on the Trump show there, and they don't like to hear any of that kind of stuff. Kelso, I accused him of swimming around in Kool-Aid for quite some time.
Well, look, I mean, each host that does a show, I got to personally, I got to maintain my own comfortability and integrity level. So I report things that make me very uncomfortable about, especially some of those surrounding Trump. There's some things about Trump that I like. He's the only one wearing a U.S. flag. Yeah, he's wearing his U.S. flag pin, and all the rest of them knuckleheads had their little goofy G20 lapel pins. Little stuff that Trump does that I'm cool with. But at the same time, I know that he's got a lot of insidious characters around him, and some of those insidious characters are in his own family. I like Don Jr. a lot. He seems to be pretty hardcore, but Ivanka and Jared, I think, are toxic to his administration.
Absolutely. And, some of the problems that he's got, he's created. You know, he put Nikki Haley in the UN, and, every time she opens her mouth, it's just a disaster.
Yeah, I those kind of moves you really wonder about, because I think there's almost this thing where he wanted to pull her out of the governorship down there, and there's all these chess moves that people have talked about, and you're like, well, and some people say under the surface Trump really hates the UN, and so he pulls this never Trumper out of the governorship of what was it, South Carolina, and then throws her in up the UN. And other people say that they like throwing these women warmongers up there to the UN to make the whole war agenda more palatable. And so there's a lot of angles on that whole Nikki Haley thing, and her being of Indian extraction and not American Indian, but India, weird stuff. I can't stand Nikki Haley. I think she's an idiot. That tweet where she said, if anything happens in Syria, Assad's getting the blame no matter what type thing. I'm like, really?
Yeah, she's terrible. Yeah. And then you played that Linda Sarsou or whatever.
Yeah.
Can you imagine being married to something like that?
Yeah, she's an operative. I wouldn't be surprised. Obvious. I wouldn't be surprised if she's a lesbian. Under the surface, she got her hijab on and talking about Allah, and she's been seen flashing that one finger like the Daesh ISIS gang does, Israeli Secret Intelligence Service. She could be an operative of Israeli intelligence. Israeli intelligence penetrates the hell out of the Palestinians. And so you got to realize Hamas and some of these characters had fingerprints of Shin Bet on their creation and so forth. So Sarsour could be one of theirs, this merging of kind of expansionist Islam with our kind of Marxist Alinskyite left.
Yeah. The other thing, about Trump's first trip, when he went to Saudi Arabia, what was this dance?
Dance
of swords, something like that. That's got to be occultic.
Yeah, that made me cringe.
Yeah. Then
he goes over and does that, but then he when he gets back here, he has the good optics of 86 in the Ramadan festivities at the White House that, it started with somebody like Carter or Clinton, I think. And so he's a real mixed bag with his optics. The Saudis, the petrodollar is very important. It's been that way since FDR, the protectorate that we've had over Saudi Arabia, and we tolerate their loony, Wahhabi ideology. But I they're a real toxic bunch over there.
Yeah, well, and then the first sitting president to stand in front of the wall in Israel and then visit with, what I think about Francis. He's not a pope. No way.
Well, yeah, I, you know, and I don't know your feelings about the Jesuit order itself, but
well, you know, let me ask you a question.
Hold that thought. We got the break.
All right.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
NutriMedical's Calm Mind supports a relaxed mood and helps to support your brain neurotransmitter, helps lower blood pressure, helps to make you feel calm all day long, and helps to make it easier to go to sleep. Calm Mind contains GABA. It also contains xanthine and L-theanine, an amino acid from green tea. And it contains myo-inositol, a special B vitamin. Because it's such high quality, it works amazingly for anxiety, panic attack, and for depression. Get Calm Mind at NutriMedical.com, NutriMedical.com, or 888-212-8871. The special studies that have been done on Calm Mind show that it helps to stabilize the neurons in the brain, lower the autonomic nervous system that raises blood pressure, and it helps to support normal calming activity throughout the body. That means you're going to have much higher energy level, much more stable mood, be able to tolerate stress better, and it helps to stabilize blood sugar as well. So order Calm Mind at NutriMedical.com.
We are the American Freedom Party. This is the most urgent time in the history of Western civilization. In the year 1900, white people of European descent comprised 35% of the world population. Today it is less than 9% and falling fast. Europe is being overrun with Middle Eastern immigrants, and America's founding stock is rapidly being replaced with third world peoples from around the globe. For the last 50 years, every influential institution in this nation, our schools and universities, our media, our churches and our employers have promoted
Radio. Don't know how the producer's feeling, if he wants to go over or not. I'll leave it up to him. We're talking with Bill in Wisconsin, but Mr. Producer, have clip 11 ready to play because I wanted to play it while Bill's on the line. But go ahead, Bill. What was that question you were going to ask me about the Jesuits?
Yeah. I, you know, as a dyed-in-the-wool Catholic, sede vacantist, I do not accept, you know, all of these Vatican II popes as popes. All right, consequently, we've been undermined and subverted, so on and so forth. But if you say that Ignatius Loyola was a Murano, okay, and that he had infiltrated the church and, you know, he was doing the Jewish thing, well, what about St. Paul, okay?
Right. Wasn't yeah, hey, well, hold on, Paul- let me stop you there. I've covered the researchers that say that Ignatius Loyola was a crypto, a converso, a Marano. Okay, right. I've covered that angle. Now, it really depends on if you have mercenary motives, if you're going in as an infiltrator or you're going in because you're a real convert and you love, you know, the church and so forth and so on. So it really depends on the individual's motives. If you're going in as an infiltrator, like a Mossad operative or something, then that's different. I can't judge Loyola. He started this thing 1534 to 1540. I don't know. I can't say. I've read both sides of the house and into the, you know, on the show, just because, you know, I just try to do that. I try to give a couple different sides to or a few different angles to a thing like this. But here's where I think the Jesuits and let me just run this by you and I'll let you answer. Over time, regardless if it was Loyola and Linez and some of these guys at the early part of the order, or whether it was, let's say, they're the brains behind Vatican II. A lot of the Jesuits were the brains behind the Second Vatican Council. Pope Clement XIV being assassinated after he suppressed the Jesuits. I mean, there's a lot of things there. And the biggest glaring thing with me with the Jesuits is their part in the Kennedy assassination and the Abraham Lincoln assassination. You read into some of that, and I'm not saying all of it's true, but there's some definite connections there. And you get into the liberation theology, all these radical Marxist Jesuits in Central and South America over a number of decades. I mean, these guys were actually running death squads, Bill, as priests, but they would take positions in the Nicaraguan government and things of this nature. I mean, when you got a priest that sits there and then he takes a government post and then he's out, you know, exterminating people and things. I mean, some of this stuff's so over the top that I just think that they, over time, let's just say, they've really embraced the collectivist left total state kind of version of government. And I'm not saying all of them. I think there's plenty of Jesuits that might not be left wingers, but I'm just saying as an order, and there's so many of instances and cases being expelled from numerous countries for political tomfoolery. And I mean, a lot of Catholic countries kicked these guys out at numerous different times throughout their history. And it parallels the Jewish community. And that's just the point I try to make. But go ahead.
Well, I'm in total agreement that, you know, the modern Jesuits are involved in this liberation theology. There's no question about that. But, you know, to the church set up the Jesuits as a counter-revolution against the Protestant Reformation, so-called.
Right. Yeah.
And I don't see anything wrong with that. If they were sending out missionaries to the Far East and over here and so on and so forth, and many of these Jesuits were suffering martyrdom to spread the faith, what's wrong with that?
Well, nothing. But what I'm saying is this. The point I'm making is this. If you take upon yourself Machiavellian tactics, like, you know, if you get into the Jesuit obligations and so forth, the ends justifies the means and so forth, that kind
of... Yeah, where did you get that? Where do you get that?
Well,
It's
in the congressional record. It's in a lot of places. I mean, you know, ex-Jesuits and so forth and so on. And, well, you know, I'm just saying, when you get into the extreme, you know, oaths and so forth of the society, a lot of it's out there. And I'm not saying it's 100% accurate. But what I'm saying is, when you adopt, let's just say, Machiavellian tactics to achieve your ends, you have this blowback that happens to you as sullying yourself with things that you shouldn't, probably, when you're trying to achieve the Counter-Reformation. Or, you know what I'm saying, is they've gotten their hands very dirty so many times with involving themselves in non-spiritual things. That's where I think there's a real danger for any religious organization when they care too much about worldly affairs and not the spiritual side of the house. And I know they're interlinked, but what I'm saying is that's why I'm very leery of religious and civil power getting very, very close to each other, because it seems to lead to a lot of times, and not all times, but it seems to lead to a lot of abuse and corruption, and you're going to have that regardless. But the religious guy's already taking care of people spiritually, and then you give them temporal power on top of it. People join the religious organizations for all the wrong reasons then, and you can see how this could play out in the negative. That's the point I try to make.
Well, we can let that go for another night, but, otherwise, you know, if you take that Murano viewpoint, well, then St. Paul was the Murano.
Yeah, but did St. Paul have, let's say, and look, some Christians out here in some of these circles, you know, there's a zillion different viewpoints on Paul. Some people view Paul as a Pharisee infiltrator that screwed up the church and Christian theology. You know, people out here, I read these people, they're like, oh, Paul was an infiltrator, he was a usurper, he was an antichrist, and all this crap. You know, it's just like, God,
well,
people are, yeah.
Yeah, you can lose your faith, Robert, with a lot of that. So,
yeah, you just stumble across this stuff, and it's not gonna shake my faith. Worrying about some clown sitting here saying Paul was really a Mossad Pharisee to destroy the church from within. Hey, look, if that's your opinion, have it. It's not gonna mess with me, but I'll give you the last word. I got another call.
Well, St. Paul was the one that wanted to bring the Gentiles into the church. So.
Yeah, and he also said, look, I like a guy that says he that doesn't work shouldn't eat. And St. Paul also said, if you provide not for the members of your own household, you've denied the faith and you're worse than an unbeliever. If we had those two verses by Paul printed out all over this country, we'd be in a lot better shape.
Well, let's emphasize where the problem is in the Trump administration, and that is Ivanka. And Alex has a shirt. I haven't heard him advertise it in a while, but I voted for Trump, but not Ivanka.
Yeah, well, you know, they're young. Ivanka's like a socialite, the Hamptons, all the social circles. And so, see, they get sucked into this. And she's married to a Chabad Lubavitch synagogue
right.
member. I mean, come on, the Chabad Mafia,
yeah.
These guys, organ traffic and dealing the major ecstasy dealers and all kinds of crap. And not all of them, but I'm just saying they've been busted for this stuff. And so, she's married to a guy that's a member of a very seedy organization. That I was watching a Ukrainian general, okay, and he's sitting there blowing the whistle on the whole thing with the Ukraine and the CIA. And he was talking about Chabad running roughshod over Ukraine right now. It's just, you know, it's just interesting that you see all these various kind of connections. So, but I
and Trump made that statement, okay, when he was in Poland, that, you know, we've got to adjust Russia because of the Ukraine and Syria. So yeah. There's no salvation there, that's for sure.
Yeah, well, our deep state, look at, they've been balls deep in both of these countries. And then, okay, so let's say Trump is 100% for real. He's taken over as the reins as the CEO of a deep state that basically he has to turn the ship of state around 180 degrees. And so even if he is real, you know how hard that is, this massive bureaucracy that has basically already got its chips on the table to overthrow Syria and the Ukraine. I mean, you know,
well,
yeah.
You know, if you're a true America firster, then you got to do what's right, and you don't put somebody like McMaster in there, and that's the way it is. So,
yeah, CFR McMaster. All right, Bill. Thanks. I got one more call. See you, buddy. All right, we've got Fred in Michigan. What's up, man?
Robert,
yes,
I was an altar boy starting in sixth grade.
I was also a minister of communion and all this. In 1982, thereabouts, Project Renew surfaced. It was all about studying the Roman Catholic Light of the World Douay Bible. So I show up, and with the Bible, which I'd never read, I thought, hey, this is great. I'll get to learn all about it. Well, Father Klein already had a prepared synopsis, you see.
Right.
Kind of like go to Mass, get lectured, like, you know, going to college and getting lectured from an all-knowing, sycophantic professor. When I look at people who base their so-called faith in what they've been fed, spoon-fed all their lives, and with blind faith trust, have never troubled themselves in their puny little brain cells to investigate, validate. Even Reagan said, trust but verify, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So you got this name Jesus popping up that was never in 1611 KJB. Wasn't there. Wasn't in the Calvin, whatever, the Geneva Bible. Society of Jesus created the name Jesus. My salvation, my life after this life is in no measure, not even a grain of sand measure, on consuming the actual body and drinking the actual blood of Jesus Christ. It's Yahushua. It's not Jesus. In fact,
well, Fred, you're splitting hairs here. You're splitting hairs. And then you're sitting here. Well, hold on. If you get into the Greek language, okay, it's not Yahushua in Greek, okay? It's I-E-O-S-U-S, something like that. So you're doing transliteration here. And whether you get the name perfectly right from, you know how many different spellings of Jesus there are Yahweh or Yahushua, Yeshua,
okay.
Yahshua.
Fine. I'll give you that. That's fine. I don't want to get hung up on that because
right.
The meat of the matter is, why is it, as you said, Shabbat, Lubavitcher, Lubadickers, why are they boasting, Levi Shemtov boasting, the chief Shabbat Lubadicker rabbi of D.C., that they own U.S.gov? They own them, okay? They own the CIA, the Rothschild,
well,
Bank of England,
yeah.
FedRes, yeah. And then you got the law schools, you got the legal system. That's why I told Lark, communitarianism is really an octopus with multitude tentacles, but the brain has two hemispheres. The Rothschild Bank of England private central banking system, cabal, which is totally Talmudic, according to Talmudic economic specialists, like this guy, Werner Sombart, The Jews in Modern Capitalism, 1911. Well, hey, man, he says everything emanates. All things economic, monetary, fiduciary, the creation of money and credit, that's in the King James Bible. That's in the Roman Catholic Bible. You can look it up. I'm banging my head trying to figure out why it's there if Jesus Christ was all about fortifying people with liberating, empowering knowledge to free themselves from the yoke of slavery, which is the monetary system. But it's there in the Bible. Hey, man, invest the money I give you when I go on a long trip, dude. And when I come back, I expect the usury interest because I expect you to invest it with the bankers. That's in the frickin' Bible, man.
Well, let me ask you this.
Wait a minute.
The guys that designed our country that you're living in right now, loosely based our system on, you know, the Christian framework. You know, when you're talking about talents in that parable of the talents, I'll get back to you after the break.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Extendivite, a 7-herb combination of garlic, cayenne, hawthorn, bilberry, ginkgo biloba, valerian, and milk thistle. Extendivite is designed to strengthen the heart and arteries and help the body heal itself. Doctors are not able to explain the improvements they are seeing in their patients' health who are taking Extendivite. People who once needed more pills are now taking less and getting better. Due to the unexplainable improvements in their patients' health, more doctors are calling to order Extendivite for themselves. Help Extendivite make your doctor a believer. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822, or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
I'm getting older and noticing that my body just doesn't work as well as it used to. So I like to keep fit as possible by hitting the gym a few times a week. Recently, I started having a nagging bicep pain, and it got so bad I couldn't even lift the weights. When I was complaining about it to a friend, he told me about Angioprim. He said chelation helps remove toxins, heavy metals, and cholesterol in veins and arteries that may cause blockages. You know, after just 1 week of taking Angioprim, the pain was gone, and now I'm back in the gym full strength. Scientific research proves the active ingredient in Angioprim has superior oral chelation action that helps promote cardiovascular health. So to learn more, go to angioprim.com. That's A-N-G-I-O-P-R-I-M.com. Or talk to a trained consultant. Call Angioprim toll-free at 877-882-7221. You'll feel better with more energy. Call 877-882-7221 or go to the website angioprim.com.
Got just a few minutes left till the end of the show. The producer's tired, so we're gonna cut it off at the end of the show. But the parable of the talents, Fred, you're reading it kind of in one dimension, but there's other things going on here. It's basically saying that if you bury your talent in the ground and you don't do anything with it, you're not being productive. That's why you deserve punishment. He said basically the very least you should do is at least let your money work to make more money. Now, to give it to the usurers of that day, maybe that was, you know, what it is. But the point I'm making is, hold on a minute. Hold on. But basically, it's just like that. The point here is to be a productive person and to use your talents to make more money. You know what I'm saying? And not not be stagnant, to be out there doing
the
something.
The freaking Vatican promotes a global currency, a global religion, a global military, a global government. What the hell is that, man? It's all predicated upon what Lark calls communitarianism.
Well, why are you yelling, number one?
Satanic monetary system that every freaking priest and every freaking...
Cut him off. This guy, he's out of control. You need to learn some new words instead of like lubridicker and other things like that, because see, it really makes you fall right into the caricature that the enemy wants for all of us, because you want to make silly comments and then you want to yell at the host. Who covers more Vatican stuff than me on this network? Nobody. And then the guy's going to call in and yell at me and tell me things I already know. It's just silly. We've got a lot of callers to this network that, like Fred, who he doesn't even have self-control. Rather silly. Now, I'm going to get into some things I didn't cover. I had a Brother Nathaniel video to talk about Syria, True Stream Media video to talk about Are You Programmable? And it has to do with the smart meters. All the tunnels being discovered and so-called, let's say, skeletons of large size being discovered under the Mexico pyramids in Peru. Oh, I wanted to talk about this. YouTube actually being a programming system for all the people that research things on YouTube. You play a video and then you get all those videos on the right side. It's almost a programming mechanism, because I'm seeing people that with websites and so forth, and they're doing articles on the same kind of things that are popping up in my YouTube feed. And so we have to think about this, is the whole algorithm things that decides what videos get selected for you on YouTube. Is this causing a groupthink among people that do talk radio or researchers, people that have websites and all that? So we have to be cognizant of the fact that YouTube, by the videos they select for you, I'm seeing kind of a groupthink here with Flat Earth, with Antarctica, with all this thing here. Very interesting stuff. Now, supposedly, the UN just passed a nuclear weapons ban. Now, whether it's going to have any kind of teeth remains to be seen. So keep your eyes on this nuclear weapons ban by the United Nations, whether our government would go along with it or whether they force the governments of the world somehow to try to go along with it. Well, there's a lot coming our way. I probably got a minute left. The progressive movement, the communist Marxist movement, Antifa, the college campuses, the professors brainwashing these kids. It's fascinating what they're doing, because they're actually causing people to self-segregate. And so I think I spoke on this last week, but basically the one thing that the left had fought against this whole time in the 60s, okay, was segregation, the desegregation movement in the schools. Now they've flipped 40 years later, and now with the mind control systems and psychological warfare, what they do is they're causing people to self-segregate, blacks only dorms, et cetera, et cetera. And look, I mean, Muslims kind of going into their own deal, and, you know, look at towns like Minneapolis with entire no-go zones of Somali areas. And so what we're witnessing now is quite fascinating, is like it's like a 180 from the left. They've screwed up people's minds to the point now they're causing people to balkanize voluntarily. So that's very, very fascinating. The Radiohead frontman flipping the bird to the BDS people. At the Glastonbury concert. So there's a guy, I think the bass player, he's married to a Jewish woman. And so the Radiohead guys are going to be playing in Tel Aviv, kind of the opposite of the Roger Waters British entertainers. So that's kind of interesting. So, okay, the Democrats, Russian collusion. They've been on this thing for months and months, right? So they want to know about